We're reading this morning the first seven verses of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour and doing what's right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen.
Thank you. So you will have noticed a different backdrop for us here at the back with the word wisdom here. We haven't always got this up. We've put this up especially because it heads up our new series that we're starting this morning on Proverbs. We're looking at the book of Proverbs, which it is known as the Hebrew wisdom literature. So all about wisdom. And I was the reason I've chosen this as a theme for the next couple of months, we're going to look at this during October and November, and we're going to work through the whole book of Proverbs, not chapter by chapter, but through sections of it. And the reason I've chosen this subject is because I reckon that now probably more than ever we need wisdom, don't we? Really? I think it's kind of something that our government needs. Governments around the world need wisdom during this time of COVID. We've needed it for some time, and we're going to need it ongoing as well. I think as a church, we've got things going on at the moment, like the leadership nominations and elections we were just talking about. We're going to need wisdom there, and we need people of wisdom, of good understanding and Christian maturity to be able to come onto our leadership team and help us and guide the church through these next years. And so wisdom is something that is really important, an important commodity, an important quality, and something that we're encouraged to seek after and to continue to gain. And so that's the theme that I've brought out for these next few weeks. Now, what we're doing is we're looking at the book of Proverbs. It's one book within the whole book of the Bible, so all the books in the Bible, this is one section of it in the middle. There's 31 chapters altogether. So if you would like to get into the book of Proverbs, you could either set yourself a challenge of reading a chapter a day in a 31-day month, or if you want to read through the whole book of Proverbs during this two-month series, then it means you can get away with just reading one chapter every 2 days. That's achievable, isn't it? That's achievable, apart from you've got a little bit of catching up to do because it's the fourth today. But that's what you could do. Try and read through the book of Proverbs during October and November, okay? And see what it's got to say for yourself. But we're going to expound on it a little bit each week and give you an overview of this book and look at some particular verses within it as well. So today it's an introduction to the book of Proverbs. Today I'm only going to look at the first seven verses, really, because that is an introduction to the book of Proverbs. And incidentally, for those sitting here, if you would like to follow this and the first seven verses, there are Bibles at the back. You'll need to go and get your own and not bump into each other or go near each other when you go, but you can get a Bible if you want to follow it. If you're at home on YouTube or Zoom watching us, then you could grab a Bible as well if you just want to follow this through what I'm sharing this morning. So, I will again just read verse 1. I'll read it through again, just verse by verse as we go through it, so you can be reminded what has just been read. So, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, begins with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, in verse 1, which is kind of saying, what is it and who wrote it? Well, it's a textbook of wise sayings. It calls them proverbs here, but there's a little bit more to it than proverbs, as we'll see. A library of spiritual and moral instruction, really, you could describe it as. And it was written mainly by Solomon, who was a king, but also others, including King Agur, King Lemuel, and a few other people as well, a few other wise people. But Solomon is the biggest chunk of the book, and therefore it says at the beginning, the Proverbs of Solomon. It dates back to around about, therefore, around 950 BC, because that's when Solomon was around. So that's where this wisdom comes from. However, it was collected over time after that as well. And the final version that we've probably got here in our Bibles is probably from about 200 BC, when the final compilation of which wise sayings was going to be in it are there. Now, Solomon, who was the main author of these, is and was renowned for his wisdom. I guess many of you have heard of Solomon and some of the stories, but for those who haven't, just a very quick recap on who Solomon was. You find his story in 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4. That's where you can read about him. And he was known as, in the end, as one of the wisest men that has ever lived and ever will live. And God said that would be the case with him. See, Solomon had a dream, and in this dream, God granted him a wish. He said he could have anything that he wanted. And Solomon thought about it, and he decided that the one thing he'd like, because he was a young king at the time, he'd been made a king, well, young in years, and he said, you know, I'm going to need wisdom to lead the nation. And so actually, more than anything else, that's what I want. So my one wish is wisdom. What would you have wished for if you had one wish? Well, God was quite impressed with Solomon. Because he said, you could have asked for money, you could have asked for riches, you know, you could have asked for wine, women, and song, you could have asked for all of that stuff, you could have asked for lots of different things to take over other nations, to win all the battles that you go into war against other nations, you could have asked to conquer the world, but you didn't. The thing you asked for was wisdom from me. So because of that, I'm also going to grant you some of this other stuff. You're going to get rich as well, and you're going to be a powerful king as well. But I'm going to give you the wisdom that you desire and have asked for. So Solomon, as I say, became known, and God said, you'll be the wisest man that has ever lived before and in the future. So if you think you're clever, you're not as clever as Solomon. God's already said that. And he went on to make some really wise rulings, one or two of which are in the Bible. One of the most famous is where two ladies came, and they had a baby that was there. And so they said what had happened was these two ladies had both had babies, and in the night, they'd been sleeping next to each other, and in the night with the babies, one of the babies had died. One of the ladies had rolled over, and their baby had died. And so the two women were arguing over whose baby was the one that was alive. One was accusing the other one of having swapped the babies over in the night and give her the dead baby, and so she had the one that was alive. And they were arguing about that. And they came before King Solomon for him to sort it out. And so there they were arguing about this, whose baby it was and who was the right one. And Solomon said, right, enough of this. This is my ruling. Cut the baby in half and give them half each. Which would have been horrifying. But what happened was one of the women said, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. She can have it. And Solomon, of course, concluded, now give the baby to the woman that said, give it to the other lady because she is the true mother. And everyone kind of was, wow, that was a good, I'm glad it worked, aren't you? I'm glad it worked. But that was his wise ruling. And that's there in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 3. It kind of reminds me of another story I heard about a bus driver with the wisdom of Solomon. There were two women on a bus, and they were fighting bitterly over the last seat that was available on the bus, trying to get there. And the conductor had gone over and he was trying to intervene and sort them out. But they were arguing, no, I should have it. No, I should have it because of this. No, I should have it because of that. And the conductor looked up the bus to the driver. He said, what should I do? And the driver shouted back, give it to the ugly one. Needless to say, both women decided they wanted to stand the rest of the way. In 1 Kings chapter 4, we read that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs altogether. I'm going to find that and we'll just read this. This is 1 Kings chapter 4 I'm looking for here. 1 Kings chapter 4. I'm just going to read the last few verses of that because I think they'll be the most apt here. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 we'll go from. This tells us a little bit about Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan and Ezraite. Wiser than Heman. I love that. Wiser than Heman. Do you remember Heman? He-Man. Do you remember He-Man? I think we've got a picture of him on the screen. There he is as well on the screen. Well, he's on the... You haven't got him on this screen. They've got him at home, I think. They can see him at home. Wiser than He-Man. But Heman, lost where I'm up to now, Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish from all nations. People came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So he was a great king with great wisdom. And some of his best sayings, some of his many sayings have been put here, and his proverbs have been put in this book. So if this guy's so wise and he's writing all this stuff down, pretty good to know it, isn't it? If he's the wisest man that's ever lived, pretty good to have a look at this stuff. Some of the wisdom that is in this book was probably also taken and adapted from other nations. Probably some of it was from Egypt, particularly chapter 22 and 23 have some repetition of some of the type of things that was in Egypt at the time, which isn't surprising because Solomon had married the Pharaoh of Egypt's daughter at one point as well. So he would have been well averse with what was going on with the wisdom of Egypt. It was probably influenced some of it from there as well. So that's verse 1. Verse 2 to 6 really describes its purpose and who it's for. That's what we see in this next bit. So really these proverbs were designed, and this book was designed, for schooling young men in wise and right living. So there would be people that would be coming to work in the courts, in the royal courts, and people who they wanted to train up to be able to serve in different ways, and they wanted them to understand what true wisdom was, what true moral virtue was, the way that they should be living their life to be the best they could be. And Solomon's own sons are included in this. In verse 1 of chapter 2, 3, and 4, it talks about this being for Solomon. It says, my son. Solomon says, my son. He's talking to them as well. It was for parents teaching their children. But not just for that. It becomes clear that this wisdom is for all, although that was its particular purpose at the time. The word Proverbs, the Hebrew is masalm or mesalim. It was to be like, to represent, to resemble in a short saying or parable. Wisdom set out in short phrases, contrasts, and scenes from life, stating what is generally true. It's not always true. There are exceptions to the rule. The book of Job shows us some exceptions to someone living a righteous life, and it not going so well for them. But generally speaking, although it did in the end, but generally speaking, this is things that are true. And the thing it does is it kind of holds up a mirror to us. the book of Proverbs, and you take a look in the mirror, and as you do so, it asks, are you like this? That's what the book of Proverbs does. It asks, are you like this? Is this you? And is there a better way to live than the one you're living at the moment? So looking at Proverbs asks you those kind of questions to reflect on as you go through it. It helps us see things differently and provides resources to help us cope with life for God. So quickly looking at these verses now. Verse 2, for gaining wisdom and instruction. That word instruction also is discipline. For gaining wisdom and discipline. For understanding words of insight. Wisdom and discipline. Wisdom, acquired learning that helps us know what to do in a given situation. That's what we're talking about with wisdom. And discipline. You know, I always describe the word discipline as this. I describe the word disciple as this, okay? So we're called to be disciples of Jesus. And the way I like to think of it is a disciple is a disciplined follower. Disciple, discipline. A disciplined follower, someone who is committed to following Jesus, someone who is going to follow him with all of their heart, is going to listen to the advice, to take it on board and to live it out, to practice what they're learning and receiving and follow that example. A disciple is a disciplined follower. So discipline, wisdom and discipline. And then verse 3 carries on from the discipline. It says, for receiving discipline or instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. So it links to discipline and now adds another word, prudence. And prudence, you know what prudence means? What does prudent mean? Prudent means to act in a particular way with care and thought that it might go well for you in the future. That's what prudence is about. So it sets out what is right and wrong. That's what this is doing. It's Proverbs. It sets out what's right and wrong, what's just and fair in God's eyes to help us conduct our life in an appropriate way so that we may live a godly and happy life here on earth and reap our reward in a life to come. Verse 4 then takes prudence again, links it from verse 3, and adds knowledge to it. So in verse 4, it says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, and knowledge and discretion to the young. Knowledge. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? The difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Knowledge, facts.
Knowledge is facts.
Wisdom is understanding.
Wisdom, understanding, okay. Wisdom's practical. Well, I've heard it said that an example of this to describe knowledge and wisdom is like this. Knowledge is knowing tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put them in a fruit salad. Practical. And what this now has gone into in verse 5 is the kind of people who this is for. So it's talked about prudence for the simple. The Hebrew for simple was those most gullible or lacking moral direction, really, in their life. So that's prudence for those kind of people. Knowledge for the young. Well, we've discussed about the young, haven't we? We discussed about how this was for the young people growing up and to teach them. It was asking parents and the palace to pass on wisdom to them so that they may serve well in the future. I mean, children do have a lot of wisdom already, don't they? A little girl was sitting on her grandfather's lap as he read her a bedtime story. And from time to time, she took her eyes off the book and she reached up and she touched his worried and wrinkled cheek. And she was alternately stroking her own cheek and then his wrinkled cheek. And finally she said, Grandpa, did God make you? And Grandpa answered, yes, sweetheart. God made me a long time ago. Oh, she paused. Grandpa, did God make me too? Yeah, of course he did. He made you just a little while ago. And so she felt his face again, and she felt her face again, and she said, God's getting better at it, isn't he? Knowledge for the young, learning for the wise. We all need to keep learning, and to do that, we need humility. Don't any of us ever think, you know, whether we're a minister, whether we're on leadership, whoever we are, whether it's Boris Johnson in government, none of us can think that we know it all. We don't. We can be the best professor or anything, you know, but we can always keep learning and always need to be open to that and humble enough and not look at the book of Proverbs and think, well, there's nothing new. I've read the Bible before. I've been a Christian a long time. I know what it's all about. There's nothing new I can learn from here. Let's not go into this book like that. Let's go into it wanting new insight from God, because every time we open these pages, something new, God can speak to us through it. And there is a lot of wisdom in here, a lot of godly wisdom. Let it speak to you anew. And guidance for the discerning. Basically, this book of wisdom is for us all. And then verse 6 says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Proverbs, quite similar to parables. Jesus told parables, lost sheep story, the prodigal son story. So they could be a little bit longer. The proverbs are short, sharp sayings a lot of the time, but a similar idea to them often. Different sayings, different riddles. We'll pick up the differences as we go through the book. But here is verse 7. Verse 7 is the key to understanding this whole book and everything in it. This is the key verse, everybody, okay? The key to understanding it all, the key to understanding true wisdom and living it out. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The essence and starting point of all human wisdom and the best way to live is the fear of the Lord. To know what it is to fear the Lord. True wisdom only comes through being in right relationship with the Lord. That's what this fear means. It doesn't mean cowering in a corner away from God because we're so fearful of him that he's going to just bash us or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It means awe and respect and reverence, an understanding of just how great God is, how awesome he is, how we are nothing in comparison. But that doesn't mean to say we treat ourselves as like, oh, we're awful, it's horrible, because then we realize that God loves us so much as well and cares about us so much, he died for us. So this awesome God, and I'm really nothing, a sinful man, cares for me and loves me and makes me something special and wants to be in relationship with me. How amazing is that? That is the fear of the Lord. That is understanding just how awesome he is and all that he has done, and it blows our minds. That's the fear of the Lord. And then we express in obedience and reliance on him and the avoidance of evil because we want to please him with our life. But the fool says in his heart, there is no God. He despises such wisdom and discipline because he doesn't think God's there. But the heart of true wisdom is the fear of God. The biblical writers usually get straight to the heart of the matter in the literature and in their introductions in particular, and we ought to pay attention. And this is right at the beginning. But even more, it's also stated right at the end in one of the final verses. In chapter 31, verse 30, it mentions the fear of the Lord again. And as we'll see, the way this book is sectioned out, and we'll look at that more next week, at the end of chapter 9, in chapter 9, which is the end of this segment, it mentions the fear of the Lord again. It's repeating the importance, and it comes up many times in this whole book. It's an important recurring phrase throughout the book of Proverbs. The principles applied in here, we'll see, apply to all aspects of life, to the whole of life, to making friends, relationships, home life, work, money, poverty, life, death, decisions, attitudes, and reactions. It's not sacred and secular, but intertwined. This is a practical book for practical living in this world today. And it has much to speak to us of it. And I'm going to end with this story. One day, a farmer's donkey fell into a well. Well, it cried out for hours as the farmer tried to figure a way to get him out. And finally, the farmer decided it was impossible. And as the donkey was old and the well was quite dry anyway, it wasn't worth trying anymore. So the farmer asked his neighbors to come over, and they began digging soil and filling in the well. Well, at first, when the donkey realized what was happening, you could hear him crying out horribly. And then, to everyone's amazement, he quietened down and he let out some little brays. And a few shovel loads later, the farmer looked down the well to see what was happening, and he was amazed at what he saw, because with every shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the donkey was shaking it off and taking a step up. And as the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he continued to shake it off and take a step up. And pretty soon, the wise old donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and trotted off. Now, I know what you're thinking. The donkey wasn't that wise in the first place if he fell into the well. But don't we all make mistakes at times? And the moral of this story is that life's going to shovel dirt on us all at times. The trick is getting out of the well. The trick to getting out of the well is to shake it off and take a step up. And we can do that by applying wisdom, just like the donkey did. Every adversity can be turned into a stepping stone. And the way to get out of the deepest well is by never giving up, but shaking yourself off and taking a step up. What happens to you isn't nearly as important as how you react to it. And Proverbs teaches us how to react to situations in a way that is right and pleasing to God and will be best for you as well, in a wise way. Proverbs asks, how are you going to react to hearing these words? Are you going to ignore them and choose the way of fools? Or are you going to be wise? Next week, we're going to look at the first 9 chapters together. And we're going to see how Jesus is all over this as well. But that's next week. Let's just pray as we close this. Father, we thank you for this book of Proverbs, for all it has to teach us, the richness of wisdom within it. And I pray that over these next couple of months, we will learn much that can help and guide us in and through life. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.